The Green Bay Packers practiced in front of a sold-out crowd at Lambeau Field for their annual family night on Sunday, the signature event of training camp. Taking it all in was Josh Moser of Fox 11 in Green Bay, which broadcasted the proceedings. We'll talk to him, and it's all coming up on Railbird Central next. Packers fans, welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. We're talking some Packers football this morning. We're talking about Packers Family Night that happened last night, the annual event on the Packers calendar. This morning, we have a guest joining us on the phone to talk about the event.
Interview.
We have Josh Moser of Fox 11 in Green Bay. Josh, how you doing this morning? Thanks for joining us so early after a late night last night.
Happy to be here. Happy to help.
You bet. You bet. How did things go in general? Because I only saw the Milwaukee affiliates coverage. Were you reporting? Were you in the studio? What was your role yesterday?
So my role was doing a lot during the pregame show, and then we did a lot of social media. And then Drew Smith and Johnny Gray were the hosts for the 16th time, and my role was essentially just on the sidelines. Then I had to turn a story that will air on our broadcast today about the rookie's first experience with Family Night, all the bright eyes that go in, and it was great to talk with them. And then I had to anchor the news after the fireworks show, so I did that a little early.
You were a busy man last night, so I definitely appreciate you talking to us early this morning, and we'll look forward to that story this evening. But Josh, you know, to talk about the things that happened on the field last night, you know, starting kind of with injuries, I know apart from the players on the PUP list, it seems like the Packers have been really fortunate to avoid any notable injuries kind of now about a week into camp. Do you think that's a product of luck, or what is that a product of?
I think it definitely has something to do with what happened last year. I think the coaching staff is being very, very careful this year, just not wanting any injuries. If this team can stay healthy, they're dangerous, you know, but it's a matter of staying healthy. I think those six starters are on the PUP for a reason. You know, I don't know the percentage they could, maybe some of them could play right now if need be, but it's the preseason. They've got four more weeks here, five games, and they're all saying, hey, it starts week one against Jacksonville, and the coaching staff is taking no chances.
Yeah, that certainly seems to be the case. You know, watching Family Night last night, how remarkable is it to watch Aaron Rodgers throw that ball into the hoop, that net? Because it seems something that's so basic, and yet Aaron Rodgers seems to do it leaps and bounds better than anybody else. How remarkable is that?
You know, I mean, everyone in the Packers organization calls him the best in the business. And, you know, the amount of touch that he has on the ball is incredible. I know that it's reps, and maybe he's got a little more experience than some of the other guys throwing it in the basket like that. Maybe it's part of his off-season routine. But, you know, he's a perfectionist, and he's a very competitive man. And, you know, it doesn't matter what the environment, he's going to win. And he definitely has the ability to do whatever with the football. And you've seen that on the field, the two-time MVPs. And I've been fortunate enough to have the opportunity to cover Peyton Manning, Mark Sanchez in his prime at USC before he got into the league. I've covered some pretty good quarterbacks, and there's just something about Aaron Rodgers that puts him above the rest.
Yeah, it sure would be nice to have a front row seat to watch that. Speaking of quarterbacks, Brett Hundley seemed to have some difficulty with the center exchange yesterday, which to me is concerning because, you know, he figures to play a lot in the preseason. I know I sure would hate to see that, you know, when it's a game situation. Is it his fault? Is it the center's fault? How can they fix that?
It could be a multitude of things. Normally everything will fall on the quarterback. Just that's kind of how it is. But, Hundley's working on a lot of fundamental stuff. They're changing a lot of his fundamentals. You see the raw athleticism. That's why the Packers traded up in the draft to get him last year. I really don't see it as much of a concern. He's changing his throwing motion a little bit. I mean, he's really revamping his skill set. And I think that they'll identify things on the tape from last night, and then they'll be able to correct that. That's been what they preached about with Brett Hundley and why they like him so much. Alex Van Pelt saying, he makes a mistake. We really don't see that mistake again. And that's what you want out of a guy. He's a young guy. It's only his second year. Came out of school early. He's got a lot of potential, and I think he's coming along just fine. And preseason is really going to be his season in a sense. And, at that point, I think it would be the time to evaluate whether he's an adequate backup or not. But, when you let Scott Tolzien walk away in free agency, they're obviously very high on Brett Hundley.
Yeah, better to make mistakes in practice than in the game. So if there's going to be a time to do it, last night would be it. We're talking to Josh Moser of Fox 11 News in Green Bay, joining us here at Railbird Central on a Monday morning. Josh, there seem to be several nice catches by the wide receivers at family night last night. Who stood out to you?
He stood out last family night, too. I'm going to go with Devontae Adams. He had a couple great catches, had a couple drops, but you can see his bigger frame. He's just that athletic body that you see the flashes. And now I think it's just about consistency. And I think with Jordy Nelson coming back, when Randall Cobb moves back into the slot, Adams, at the end of 2 years ago, really picked on that third cornerback. And I think he continues to grow. He's going to be a dangerous weapon. Dealt with injury a lot last year. And I think if he can be healthy, that's going to be key for Rodgers. And I think he is definitely the X factor, if you will, of that wide receiver group. It's pretty much loaded.
Yeah, seems to be the guy who makes a great play and fouls it up with a little bit of mistake. If he could just get a little more consistency, he'd be really dangerous. Another player that stood out to me, were you as impressed by rookie linebacker Blake Martinez as I was? And has it been that way all training camp so far?
Yeah, absolutely. He's been really the only rookie playing with the ones and talking to him multiple times. He's very mature. Stanford kid, he is all business, and he says he wants to shed that, rookie namesake, very quickly to show that he can contribute. And obviously, Ted Thompson loves smart people, and Blake is just that. His football IQ, according to his coaches, is just off the chart. And, he wants to come in here and make plays. He is not a typical rookie, and I would expect him to get significant playing time here in the preseason. I think he'll be a key piece as we move forward throughout the regular season if he's healthy.
Yeah, I'm really excited to watch his development. Josh, later in the show, we're going to kind of do a little more in-depth discussion of the secondary. And I want to know which cornerback has kind of made the best impression on you, not necessarily last night. I mean, it can include last night, but in training camp in general.
Oh, man. I'm going to go with Quinn Rollins. This is a guy that really hasn't played much football. It's his second year in the league, very high athletic guy, was a basketball player. And I think he's really becoming a football player. They're moving him around a lot in the secondary, playing in a couple different positions on the inside and outside. And they're talking about that versatility, and they're saying that Quinn has the best versatility. And I think the more that he comes along mentally and getting reps, you're really going to see that athleticism shine. And I think if he can be a big piece with Sam Shields already in place, and Demarius Randle did a great job his last year as a rookie, and I think Quinn Rollins, if he gets up to that level, that's a very good secondary with ball hawking safeties behind him.
Yes, definitely. To kind of wrap things up here, Josh, talking about special teams, it seems to me last night Tim Mastay was significantly better at punter than Peter Mortel. Would you agree with that assessment?
Personally, I didn't actually get a chance to see them kick. I was running around getting ready for the news. Tim Mastay, he was the best punter in the NFL last year at the end of the season, when you go a month. And, you know, Mason Crosby's, you know, arguably the best in the business, all-time points leader in Packers history. But, you know, Martell's young. He's going to get a chance to kick this preseason. And, you know, it's hard to judge things off of one night. But, you know, Tim Mathis has been a Packer for a while now, and I think there's good reason for that. And, you know, with Peter being a hometown kid, his dad running the score clock, you know, I think it's a tremendous opportunity. And, you know, I think he'll have the duration of camp here to really show, you know, that he can kick. And if it's not here with the Packers, you know, it's a good chance that it's with someone else.
Sounds good. Sounds good. Josh, thank you so much for taking a few minutes to talk to us this morning. I greatly appreciate the time you put in last night and then again this morning. So thanks so much. We're going to send people to watch your feature this evening on the news. And thanks a lot.
Hey, no problem. Happy to help. Love talking to the Cheesehead.
All right. Thanks so much. Josh Moser of Fox 11 in Green Bay talking to us here at Railbird Central on a Monday morning. So glad to get somebody who is part of the official broadcast partner of last night's coverage joining us on the show today. And to continue our discussion of Family Day, let's continue with this.
Packers news of the day.
So the Packers held practice in front of a sold-out Lambeau Field on Sunday. Like I said, kind of the signature event of training camp. And, you know, just wanted to give my two cents and my reaction to what happened on the field last night. And, you know, if I were to give my kind of the best thing that I saw, I thought the pass rush in general and Dayton Jones in specific was one of the more pleasant developments Sunday from my point of view. Unfortunately, that means the pass protection needs a little work. But taking a look at the bright side here first, players like Jones, Jayrone Elliott, Laurenti McCray, and Reggie Gilbert all impressed me at one time or another last night during family night. As I mentioned before, Jones in particular had several nice moments putting pressure on the quarterback, including the final play of the two-minute drill in which he was credited with the sack of Brett Hundley. And, you know, that could have, you know, ended a half or ended a game perhaps, and turned the ball back over to the Packers offense. You know, had that been a game environment, you know, that was like the final drill they did just before like doing some field goals at the end. So I thought Dayton Jones played really nice. If I was doing a chips report of last night's family night, you know, Dayton Jones would have gotten one of the blue chips. But you know, here's some reaction. I hope you're not going to find anywhere else, but you know, I think family night, this is the place to kind of look for one of these things, because you know, it's the first time you really see some of these rookies under the bright lights. And to me, I just want to give three names that really stood out, and they're all undrafted rookies, and they're from every level of the defense. Just some guys who stood out to me who I've never really watched before at any length. I'm going to talk about Reggie Gilbert in a sec. I mean, I watched him play college football on TV, but these other guys haven't really seen very much of them at all. Starting with the defensive line, Brian Price, I thought really played very nicely. You know, the Packers have a trio of undrafted rookies on the defensive line. There's Price, there's Tyler Cooter, and then there's, boy, I even forget the last undrafted rookie's name off the top of my head. But, you know, so among those three guys, you know, maybe the guy who's got the upper hand right now is Price, who played at Texas San Antonio during his college football days and coming in for his first year as a pro here. And he just, you know, I'm not sure if it's so hard to tell during family night whether they would be credited with a sack or not, because, you know, the quarterbacks are wearing red jerseys and they just kind of quit. They don't really hit them. And if they were trying to hit him, you know, how easily could the quarterbacks have gotten out of the grasp or something like that? So you don't really know whether they're getting sacked or not. But I liked what I saw out of Brian Price getting pressure at least a couple times. You know, maybe he's no 10 sack a year person yet, or you know, Pro Bowl caliber. But just, you know, like I said, somebody that stood out to me that I really didn't know much about before, and joined from the linebacker spot, Reggie Gilbert. I saw one pressure from him, but the real impressive part was the him in coverage, and I saw some athleticism I really didn't expect because he played more of a defensive end at the University of Arizona. And I do remember watching him. I can remember watching him specifically during their bowl game this past year because he was, you know, arguably Arizona's best senior prospect on the whole roster, and kind of know that, you know, coming out he might be, you know, he was just a player to watch on their defense, and he played a defensive end spot for him, and you know, really probably wasn't asked a whole lot to cover and things like that, but he showed some athleticism and had one of the few interception, maybe the only interception during team drills last night that I can really remember. Maybe there were a few other, you know, of course I was watching on television and they don't show every single snap. So, pardon me if I missed one there, but, yeah, just really impressive to see him drop into coverage. I think it was a ball intended for Mitchell Henry that Gilbert grabbed, I believe in the end zone too. So that was really nice to see. Just some underrated athleticism I didn't know he had. So that was, you know, perhaps one of the better developments from last night. And then in the secondary, safety Kentrell Bryce, I really like because he always seemed to be in the right spot at the right time. Sometimes he was just a half second slow or things like that, but he was right there. Instead of, you know, sometimes, you know, being a safety or, you know, play defensive back in general, being two, three steps slow, getting beat down the line. But there were certainly other times where he broke up a couple passes, or, you know, was right kind of making tackles right as the ball arrived. I just like to see that out of a young safety. So there you go. There's just three guys right there: Brian Price, Reggie Gilbert, and Kentrell Bryce. All of them undrafted rookies, one at each level of the defense, kind of making a good first impression on me last night. Hopefully, that's some thoughts you won't be able to get anywhere else in terms of, you know, these guys further down the depth chart that are, you know, looking to maybe become that, you know, the one of the last players to make the roster, or if they don't do that, maybe make the practice squad and develop these guys. So nice first impressions, and just hopefully they continue it here. But you know, among guys, I asked among guys maybe with bigger roles here, I asked Josh Moser about him. I thought Blake Martinez really looked good last night in sniffing out the screen passes. So at least Blake Martinez was showing me something in pass coverage. Now, I still need to see how he handles the run game. I didn't really get a chance to, you know, see that in depth. Certain, like I said, you know, the television coverage can't show every snap of every drill that's going on. So I haven't really seen him do that a whole lot yet. But he's showing something for the time being, which I think is really good. You know, even if Blake Martinez just really does play in a dime role early on, or a nickel role, instead of playing in the base defense, I mean, that would certainly be fine as a rookie. I would be very happy with that if he, especially if he played well in that role. Just good things to see in the early going here. Some of the things that jumped out to me when watching Family Night. If we're going to talk about the downside, things I was, you know, discouraged about, I thought the most disappointing thing from last night was the play of Don Barclay, who got pushed around several times. And we're talking both the pass game and the run game. And I do give Don Barclay credit because he was playing some center last night, and perhaps that's due to Corey Linsley being out. So at least showing some versatility and some value, and things like that. And he's the kind of guy, if in a pinch, could play like pretty much all five spots across the defensive line. He's got that going for him, but he really has not. He struggled so much during the season last year, and you thought maybe, okay, 2 years removed from the ACL, he's going to be better. He wasn't last night, at least. I'm not going to judge, Don Barclay's entire training camp on one practice, but that was not a step in the right direction. For me, it seems, boy, I would be really mad if the Packers had Don Barclay out on the field at any point. Aaron Rodgers is also out on the field. I would not be comfortable with that sort of situation at this point right now. And to tell you the truth, I think that Don Barclay may be a guard, and a guard strictly. We saw him struggle so much last year at the tackle position. I saw him struggle last night as a center. And maybe that's fine for your third string, fourth string guy, as opposed to your starter or even the second string. But yeah, I mean, I would like to see Don Barclay at the guards, and that's it, and not out there when Aaron Rodgers is. That would be a little bit scary, just because I have yet to see that improvement from him over a year ago. Like I said, I'm not going to, judge the whole, training camp on him right now, and hopefully he only continues to get better. We're still just a week into camp, and we got, five preseason games to go. But it's time for Don Barclay to step it up if he wants to win a roster spot this year. Just a brief injury update here, and like I said, asked Josh Moser about the Packers have really been lucky a week into camp, and there's been almost no significant injuries, and the guys that have been injured have been backups. So last night, I saw two guys sitting on the sidelines: linebacker Manoah Pakula, who's been out a few practices now with a hamstring injury, and the new addition that was out last night was offensive lineman Josh James. Apparently the first practice he sat out, according to the beat reporters. And then I also saw it was reported that Matt Rotherham had an ankle issue yesterday. Just a small little commentary here with the Hall of Fame game coming up, and the next preseason game just coming up 5 days after that. It would appear to me the Packers need to use one of their one and only open roster spot right now. They've got 89 of 90 spots filled. They need to spend that on an offensive lineman and get him in here sooner rather than later, so he's ready to play by Sunday, because the Packers have two offensive linemen on the PUP list, Corey Linsley and TJ Lang. They're not even practicing at all and haven't since the start of training camp. And they've got two more injured, who, Josh James, who didn't practice at all, and Matt Rotherham, who apparently suffered an injury last night during family night. Yeah, the Packers need a little offensive line help, if more for depth than anything else. But, like I've talked about before on the show, five preseason games this year, you're going to need some depth guys playing in the second half of games. The first preseason game, the second preseason game, they need guys. So it's time for the Packers to get an offensive lineman in here. They got an open roster spot anyway. They should do that, because, like I said, we don't need the Don Barclays out there when Aaron Rodgers is. Let's get some other guys in camp and see what they can do. Okay, so for pretty much the last 3 weeks or so, we've been previewing position. We've had a position by position preview series on this show. And I've always brought on a guest to basically help me preview a position group or things like that. Today, pretty much the last position group apart from special teams, is the defensive backs. The last episode we talked about the linebackers, so it's time for the defensive backs today. So I'm kind of going to just do this on my own here, to kind of wrap up the series, so to speak. because we had Josh Moser reacting to Family Night earlier on the show, so didn't get to ask him in depth about the secondary. Which, so if I could just provide a few thoughts here, I personally commented at length earlier in previous episodes, just reacting to things that are going on in training camp about, Quentin Rollins and Demarius Randle expanding their roles this season, playing both inside and outside slot and perimeter. And then we also talked about Morgan Burnett kind of playing a nickel linebacker role. So I'm not going to really go over those things again. I've already talked about them. You can listen to previous podcasts if you want my thoughts on that. But thoughts on some other players in the secondary here. Mentioned just briefly, Rollins and Randle have been expanded their roles this season. And I was surprised to see Ladarius Gunter is pretty much in that same category. Last year, pretty much the Packers had him out on the perimeter and kept him there. And I thought he was going to kind of continue to do so, kind of in the same mold as Sam Shields a little bit. Ladarius Gunter, I don't think, has the speed of Sam Shields, but I kind of thought he was a perimeter guy only. So that surprised me a little bit to see last night and apparently throughout training camp, to see him in the slot as well. And I didn't think that was really in his wheelhouse. But that's all right. I mean, I like to see it at least in practice, if not in a game, just because I think the more versatile you can be, the better. Perhaps he is, better inside. I mean, we'll see whether he can handle, slot wide receivers and things like that. I don't know whether he can, but I'm just seeing it now for the first time, and I like to see it on the practice field if nowhere else. I'm excited to see, what he continues to do the rest of training camp in that role. Excited to see him in a preseason game, because it's almost looking as if, Randle, Rollins, Gunter, these guys are almost all interchangeable, and they're all kind of doing different things, and it doesn't seem like, one is really, more of a starter than the other at this point. Maybe Rollins kind of maybe getting the first crack at it, perhaps. But it seems like the Packers have been willing to, give all these guys a chance early in training camp and see what they can do. I just think that's great to see not just Gunter, but Randle and Rollins too, kind of all getting a chance to play across from Sam Shields, because all these guys could really be out on the field when it comes to the dime package, and there's six defensive backs out there. We could be seeing all these cornerbacks out there. I think they all had encouraging rookie seasons. I think they all could stand to improve, and it certainly looks like they're, taking a step in that direction. So there you go. There's some thoughts on some of the starting cornerbacks or the guys who are going to be out there with the number one defense. Speaking of, number one defense at safety, apart from Morgan Burnett, people are obviously looking for big things from Ha-Ha Clinton-Dix this year. He's certainly been solid in his first 2 years in the NFL, although maybe not great. I think a few times, especially, you see him break down when tackling, dipping the head, missing a little bit. But this point in his third year in the NFL, this is when the last three really good safeties in Green Bay really emerged. And I'm talking about really good safeties. I'm talking about Leroy Butler. I'm talking about Darren Sharper and Nick Collins, kind of guys who were all to multiple Pro Bowls. And it seems like they all became Pro Bowl caliber a few years into their development, like by the time their third year came, maybe their fourth year. And Clinton-Dix seems to be in that same vein in terms of this could be his breakout season. He's been good. He's been solid up till this point. You're hoping that now he's going to be a Pro Bowl safety. It's certainly early in training camp. I don't see any indication in which he's regressing, certainly, but that's something to look forward to. So among the backups now, among the second string, the third string guys, I'm encouraged by Roberts and Daniel, who looked good in last night's family night. I know he broke up a potentially long completion to Devontae Adams right near the end zone. It was kind of like, right inside the 10, the 5 yard line. And I really like Daniel's size. I think he's one of the taller cornerbacks in the secondary, and he's definitely in the competition for one of the last roster spots at the cornerback position, kind of behind Randall, Shields, Rollins, and Gunter. And he seems to be a step ahead of the undrafted rookies at the position, perhaps even ahead of Dimitri Goodson, whose suspension this year doesn't help his cause. So I like Roberts and Daniel. I want to see more of him. I think he might be the tallest cornerback on the roster, and I like that. I mean, I certainly like what a guy like Charles Woodson offered the Packers at 6'1", 6'2". And I'm not saying Daniel's going to be the next Charles Woodson, but I when a player has that size and is able to, play at a cornerback position. I mean, because so many cornerbacks, I think, 5'10", 5'11", 6 foot, but Daniel seems to be just an inch or two taller than that. I think that can really help him. And he's off to a good training camp from my eyes and the little bit I've seen. At safety, I'm really interested in seeing what Micah Hyde does in terms of I want to know if he's going to concede the slot cornerback jobs to guys like Randall, Rollins, and Gunter and focus more on safety, which may be a good thing for Hyde. He just never really had the speed to keep up with wide receivers. And so maybe it's a good thing he's not going to play that slot quarterback position anymore. Not that I'm ruling it out, this early into training camp, but I think, maybe Randall, Rollins, Gunter maybe taking that over, and that's going to allow Hyde to focus, pretty much at the safety positions, and maybe he can be the type of guy that's, very versatile in terms of he can play strong safety, he can play free safety, no matter if it were Clint Dix to come out of a game or Morgan Burnett, it could be Hyde who would, replace them in the lineup. I mean, because those to an extent, you got to be pretty interchangeable at safety as it is. So I'm interested in watching that, and I also expect to see much of the same from Chris Banjo, who seems to be a fourth string safety at best, and will have a major role on special teams after being named a playoff captain a year ago. That seems to be his biggest contribution to the team, and that's fine for a guy like Chris Banjo. If he can be the team's playoff captain on special teams, that would be his, would look fond I would look fondly upon that for the rest of his Packers career, if he were able to maintain that kind of role in what is, I think, is going to be his fourth year in the NFL coming up this season. Maybe as one final note on the secondary, I'll just say I like the depth the Packers have accumulated at safety. Which seems to be better than prior years, just because I like what I've seen from the guys further down the depth chart, like Kentrell Bryce, who I referenced earlier in the show, along with Jermaine Whitehead and Marwin Evans. These guys just seem more capable than some of the training camp bodies the Packers have had the past few years. So hopefully we'll see more out of them the rest of training camp and in the 5 preseason games. But yeah, I like Bryce, Whitehead, Evans. They just, it just seems to me as far as when the second team, the third string is out on the field, these guys seem to be better than the second string and third string of the past few years or so. I'm encouraged by that as well. So there you go. There's kind of your to wrap up the position by position preview series, a little bit of a discussion on the secondary, the cornerbacks and the safeties. And that kind of wraps up the whole series. I don't know. Maybe if I'll have time some other day, I'll get into the special teams and the specialists. To wrap up the show here,
the day ahead
in the world of the Green Bay Packers on Monday, They have their first evening practice of the season at Ray Nitschke Field as they begin to get ready for five preseason games, all of which take place during the evening hour. So it started with their first evening practice at Lambeau Field. Tonight's the first evening practice at Nitschke Field. And this basically also marks the start of an increase of evening practices in general compared to the last few years, of which there were remarkably few, which is nice because the Packers invested so much into installing lights at Nitschke Field, and they really didn't use them all that much for a few years. So now it's nice to see that, you know, they're actually, you know, using this investment here, and the players will be benefiting from it. And it's also that's good from a spectator standpoint, just because more fans will be able to watch practice, you know, after work and things of that nature, which I think is good to have a nice mix of night practices and maybe morning practices. And I think they even get to some kind of, you know, midday practices here in another week or two. So we will be seeing that eventually. So the Packers practice at 6:15 p.m. on Monday, and then follow that up with a day off from practice on Tuesday, following three consecutive days of practice. So they will have practiced Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. So pretty much deserve a day off here, especially in the aftermath of family night, which I think, you know, takes a toll on them mentally, especially the young guys who are really practicing in front of a big crowd for the first time. Some of them from small colleges and things of that nature. So a well-deserved day off coming up here. And this all kind of leads up to the Pro Football Hall of Fame game now less than a week away. Not only the first Packers game of the season, but the first game in the entire NFL. So an anticipated event for fans across the nation that they've been waiting for. So that's kind of in the very near future here, and what we're working up to this week in terms of the world of the Green Bay Packers. And maybe just some housekeeping duties here. This is going to be, today's episode is going to be the last episode for, you know, for the next few days. You know, typically we have shows every Monday, Wednesday, Friday. I'm definitely not going to have a show on Wednesday. I don't know about Friday yet. I'll cross that bridge when I get to it. And the reason is this, you know, I do this show out of my home office. We've got some remodeling work going on this week, actually getting every window in the house replaced. So it's going to be a construction site at this house. We're going to have workers over here. The house is going to be a mess. It's supposed to last maybe 3-4 days, kind of, you know, depends how fast things go. So I just know we're not going to have an episode Wednesday. I don't know about Friday. I'm not, perhaps will, perhaps won't. I'll try to keep you updated on Twitter. But it'll just be a few days here in which we won't have a show. So I apologize. I'm definitely not going to do it while there's workers going on in the house here and things like that. As far as if I don't see you till next week, enjoy the Hall of Fame game, enjoy games coming back. It's always fun, especially to watch the guys further down the depth chart. Enjoy the Hall of Fame ceremonies with Brett Favre going in, all that, Kevin Green. So a lot of cool stuff, you know, in the very near future here. And we'll see you at the very latest, some point next week. So we'll see you, Packers fans. Have a good week, and I'll touch base again soon. On behalf of everybody at Cheesehead TV, I'm Brian Caravu. My call to action, as always, as usual, if you've not done so already, please give us a rating and a review on iTunes. It's the one small thing we ask. This show is free of charge, no subscription, no paywall. So if you do us a solid, go to iTunes and search Cheesehead TV. It'll pop right up. Give us that 5-star rating and a brief little review. Doesn't have to be anything long. Doesn't have to be a novel. But it helps get word out about the show, which I like, because it helps people find this show when they're going on the internet searching for Packers podcast. It helps them find it when there's a lot of reviews. and tells them this is the best Packers podcast on the internet. So would love if you could do that. Have a good one, folks. I leave you today with a song called Tinderbox by the String Cheese Incident on Psy Fidelity Records. See everyone. Go Pack. Go.